Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We have a Mishnah at the upper part of Daf Ayin Gimel. Yayin Nesech Osur V'Osir Bekol Shehu. Yayin Nesech, Gentile wine, is Osir, is forbidden, and it, upon mixing with other substances, can create prohibition, even if it's a minuscular amount. Now, under what circumstances is this the case? Yayin b'yayin. That is true when the yayin nesech is mixing with kosher wine, with other wine. Umayim b'mayim b'kol shehu. This is true also if you're dealing with this idea of asering, of forbidding, through mixture of minuscular amount, is also true if you have water that was used in the service of an idol. That water, if even a minuscular amount of it mixes with kosher water, all of it will be rendered unfit. Yayin b'mayim umayim b'yayin. Here we have a different situation. There's a mixture of unlike substances. If you have forbidden wine mixing with allowed water, or forbidden water mixing with kosher wine, then benoisein tam. The mixture will be prohibited only if you can perceive the taste of the forbidden substance. Ze haklal. The Mishnah offers a general principle. Min b'mino b'mashu. V'shelo b'mino b'mnosein tam. If a substances are mixing with their equivalent, with like substances, a mixture of like substances, one being prohibited and the other allowed, so the prohibited substance will even a mashihu amount create an isser, a prohibition on the entire mixture. However, if it's a mixture of unlike substances, then only if the forbidden substance, its taste is perceptible, that's what we call benosein tam. On the side of our Shas Ozer, the marked Gemara, you can see we have a topic heading, Taroves. The Nosei represents a topic heading, and we've written in Taroves, a mixture. Number one, Isur Letocheter, where that which is prohibited falls into that which is permitted. And a second scenario is the opposite direction. Heter, that which is permitted, l'toch iser, falls into that which is prohibited. So we have iser l'toch heter and heter l'toch iser. These will be points discussed in our Gemara. In addition to that, we also have a mivneh heading, a structural note. As you scan ahead in the Gemara, we see different geometric forms. Amongst them, we see a double underline and a diamond. These are explained as Amoroyim Shoinim Shemivim Divrei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's name, as you can see, appears in a diamond. And as you scan down the page, you'll see numerous appearances of Rabbi Yochanan, all in a diamond. The double underline highlights the name of the Rav that is introducing Rabbi Yochanan. So what we've written in on the side is Amoroyim Shoinim Shemivim Divrei Rabbi Yochanan Benosei Ta'aruvis, with regard to the topic of mixtures. In the first discussion, Rav Dimi will be introducing Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Dimi will make his presentation of Rabbi Yochanan. Following that, we'll be noticing triangles. These represent kushios al Rav Dimi, questions on Rav Dimi's approach. So, turning to the Gemara, Ki also Rav Dimi, Om Rabbi Yochanan. Hamare, one who pours yayin nesech, mechovis lebor, afilu kol hayom kuloi, Rishon Rishon Botel. One who is pouring forbidden wine from a chavis, so it's a type of receptacle. The emphasis by the dots under chavis will play a role, will be necessary later on the daf. We also have an arrow in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, which we will take advantage of later on. So Rav Dimi describes a case of someone pouring forbidden wine from a chavis, a type of receptacle, into a pit of kosher wine. Even if he is doing this all day, in other words, a large amount of unkosher wine is being poured into the kosher wine, Rishon, Rishon, Botel. Every initial amount of forbidden wine is rendered kosher, if you will, is botel, is voided in the kosher wine. Rashi, at the second line from the top, says, Rishon, Rishon, Shenofal, that falls, every drop that falls, botel, berov, b'yayin kosher, shebabor. Umutir Bahano, the drops of unkosher wine, as they fall into the pit of kosher wine, as with regard to every drop of unkosher wine, it's encountered by a majority of kosher wine. So the drops of unkosher wine, even if it's dripping all day, it's being poured in like drip by drip all day, they will be batel in the pit of kosher wine. We have emphasized through a write-in, notice between the lines you see the expressions that we, the expression we've written in, Isur Latoch Heter. That is a very significant synopsis that we've included in the Gemara, because as we go along in the Gemara, we will be evaluating what case, what are the circumstances under discussion. As far as Rav Dimi is concerned, he is giving us a ruling of leniency, and he is describing the case of the forbidden is being poured into the allowed. The Gemara now attempts to ask on him and says, Tanan, Yayin Nesech Osir, the Osir Bekolshehu. Yayin Nesech, the Gentile wine, is forbidden and creates prohibition even if a minuscule amount of the unkosher wine is present. My lav, the konofil isura lego hetera. Are we not talking about the very same circumstances of Rav Dimi, where the forbidden is being poured into the allowed, and the Mishnah rules that it does create prohibition? Loi. Rav Dimi will answer, that's not the case. The Mishnah is different. The konofil hetera lego isura. The case described in the Mishnah is that which is allowed is falling into that which is prohibited. Rashi says on hetera lego isura, the heter is falling into the isur, de kama de hetera botile. Every drop of heter is becoming voided and botel into the isur. Continuing in the Gemara, Toshma, once again we see a triangle, an attempt to challenge Rav Dimi's approach. Yayin b'mayim b'noisein tam. My lav, the Mishnah rules that there is a prohibition when with the mixture of wine and water if the prohibited substance's taste is perceived. My lav, the konofil chamra de isura lemaya de hetera. Are we not talking about a case where the, once again, like Rav Dimi, where iser is falling into heter, the prohibited is falling into the allowed, and this, and our Mishnah says that if there is a perceptible taste, the, in this case it would be the wine, the prohibited wine falling into the allowed water, if you can perceive the wine taste, once you can perceive the wine taste, the water becomes forbidden. And that's not like Rav Dimi. Loi. So Rav Dimi answers that's not the case, but rather the konofil chamra de hetera lemaya de isura, that we're talking about kosher wine falling into forbidden water. And the Mishnah is informing us that as long as there is a watery taste perceived in the kosher wine, the kosher wine is not allowed. There's a Rashi that we might glance at. Notice we have a little asterisk in the we've drawn into the Rashi. Hochi garsinan, it says lo chamro de hetera le go bego maya de isura vashminan, and the Mishnah is telling us the chokama de yoiv maya taimo bechamro, that as long as the forbidden water is perceived in the kosher wine, itzar, the wine will be forbidden, ad shiyavatel tam hayayin es tam hamayim, until you reach a point that the wine overpowers the water, in the sense that you can no longer perceive the presence of water. And ukigon, and when will that be? Ukigon, denofil kule kichado, where all of the kosher wine falls in one shot into the water. The lo efshir lemaya the isura livtil taimo de chamro. If the wine falls in one shot into the water, not drip by drip, then the water taste won't be perceived in the wine. It'll be such a large quantity of wine in one shot. The Gemara continues with attempts to question Rav Dimi. We see this as indicated with the triangle point facing up. Umidereisha b'maya disura, from the fact that we set up the reisha as talking about as describing a case of forbidden water. Seifa nami b'maya disura. Then we'll assume that the seifa also features forbidden water. The katani seifa. And the Seifa features a case, and we've written in Isur Litocheter, Mayim, this is the forbidden water, B'yayin, falling into the kosher wine, B'no Saint Tam. So we have Isur going into Heter, and if the taste of that which is prohibited is perceived in the allowed substance, then the mixture becomes forbidden. And that's not like Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi said that when Isser is falling into Heter, then the Isser is botel, kama botel. Every drop that falls in is botel in the allowed substance. Omar loch Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi responds and says, Kulo masnisin, the entire Mishnah is Heter lego Isura, is not talking about my case. It's talking about the opposite, where the allowed is falling into the forbidden. Veresha, the first of the two last examples. Veresha, the konofil chamra de hetera le maya disura, where allowed wine was falling into forbidden water. And seifa, the konofil maya de hetera le chamra disura. And the seifa featured a case of allowed water falling into forbidden wine. And we'll emphasize again, and Rav Dimi was talking about forbidden falling into allowed. He also Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef Amar Rav Yochanan Hama'are Yayin Nesech Mitzar Tzrikotun Lebor, one who pours forbidden wine from a small flask into a pit of kosher wine, Afilu Kol Hayoim Kulo, even if he is doing this all day, Rishain Botel, every drop that falls in of the forbidden wine becomes voided by the majority of kosher wine. V'davka tzartzur koton delo nofish amudei. This allowance is true, this lenient ruling is true only if he's pouring from a very small vessel, where the unkosher wine is being poured from a tzartzur koton, a small vessel. Avol chavis de nofish amudei, if we're talking about a pouring from a chavis, which is a larger vessel, the nofish amude, nofish means is great, is large, amude, the flow, then lo, then I would not rule leniently. Notice we've underlined the expression chavis and provided an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This will draw your attention to the arrow above and the line in which Rav Dimi's chavis appeared. And we see that Rav Dimi offered a greater leniency than does Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef offer. Continuing in the Gemara, we also encounter a new geometric form. We have a bow tie with some colored in tips. the note on the outside margin says Mivne Shnei Lishonos. There are two versions. Al Mi Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Es Devarav. We will see a comment in this particular section of Gemara where Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda makes a comment, and there will be two versions as to on whom he is making his comment. In order to navigate a little more effectively, we also provide to the immediate, a few lines down from here, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, bow ties with a Roman numeral 1 and a Roman numeral number 2. This will become clearer as we go on in the Gemara. But for our purposes right now, let us emphasize that we're going to be encountering two versions of something. Ki also Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yayin Nesech, Shenofal Lebor. Unkosher wine fell into a pit of kosher wine. Venofal Shom Kitoin Shelmayim. And in addition to the wine mixture, there also fell into the pit water from a flask, a flask worth of kosher water. So let's just describe all. There are three elements in our scenario. We have a pit of kosher wine. What's falling into the pit of kosher wine? Some unkosher wine, yayin nesach, and some kosher water. Royin es haheter ki'ilu eino. In our mind's eye, we will view the wine in the pit, the kosher wine, as if it's not in the picture, as if it's a non-factor. Let's read that line again. Royin es haheter ki'ilu eino. Vasha'ar mayim rovin olav. Umevatlin oso. Outside of the kosher wine in the pit, we also had the kosher water, which is greater in quantity than the unkosher wine, so that we can position the wine the unkosher wine against the water, and the water will be the rove, will be the majority, and it will cancel by virtue of the fact that it's the majority. It will be mevatel the yayin nesech. A couple of comments that we want to make before we go further. As far as this very last point is concerned, we have a little note that we've included on the side where there's a double asterisk. Avobli hamayim, we've written in, ein lohokel kiravdimi, elo hayayin nesach oser hayayin shebebor. Without the water in this scenario, if you just had the unkosher wine, the iser wine, falling into the pit of heter wine, Ravin would not offer a lenient ruling. In other words, he would be unlike Ravdimi. Ravdimi, in his scenario, on the upper part of the page, featured unkosher wine falling into a pit of kosher wine. And that alone was not a problem, according to Ravdimi. According to Ravin, that would be a problem. The only only in the case where the water enters the picture can we see some leniency. We also have a general note that we've included on the side of the Gemara where you'll notice a singular asterisk. So in the margin we've noted that the Dugmos Habos Ad Omid Beis Legabi Hakamuyos Me Rav Lamaat. In the examples that we will be seeing in the Gemara until we get to Amud Beis, with regard to amounts, starting from large to small, the lineup is as follows. In all of the mixtures that we'll be seeing, we will assume that the Yayin Heter is the greatest amount, the Mayim is less, and the least of the things that will be featured in these examples is the Yayin Nesech. In order to see this illustrated more clearly, one can glance at Rashi on Amud Beis, Dibar Masil, Beroyin Komiflegi. So, as we just saw in the first example of this series of examples, we had a pit involving a large amount of kosher wine, some unkosher wine, a small amount of kosher wine fell into that, and there also fell into that pit a larger amount of water, larger, namely larger than the unkosher wine. And that we saw from the fact that the Gemara said that when you dismiss the kosher wine from the picture, you have unkosher wine versus the water, and the water was greater in quantity. It was Ravin Alav, and we saw that Ravin ruled that it would... Don't let us not get confused between the name Ravin and the expression Ravin Alav. Ravin Alav means outnumbers or greater in quantity. And as a result of the way things were set up, the kosher water will overrule the unkosher wine. Continuing in the Gemara, Ki Osa Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Shanu Elo Shenofal Kitoin Shelmayim Tchila. Before we go any further in the reading, let's just take note of the some more of the structural notes. In other words, in our encounter with Ravin, we also have a little Aleph, a few lines up where Ravin's name appears in a bow tie with colored in tips. That's Aleph. That's the initial presentation of Ravin. Here we have a base with Ki Osar of Shmuel Bar Yehuda. This is a qualification of that which Ravin said. Hence we're describing this as Aleph and Beis. So this is a qualification, and that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda tells us in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. We notice, of course, that Ravin quoted Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Shmuel has his version of Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Loi Shanu Elo Shenofal Kiton Shelmayim Tchila. The leniency that Rabbi Yochanan affords us is provided that in the order of events, the water fell into the pit first, before the Yayin Nesech fell in. Avol, lo nofal shom kitoin shelmayim tchila. If, however, the kosher water did not fall in first, then we have a disastrous situation. We then say, motzo min es minoi v'neor. If there's no water yet in the picture, then what do we have? We have a pit of kosher wine and a small amount of yayin nesef, forbidden wine, falling into the kosher wine. That's called like substances. That's min b'mino. Now, min b'mino, we saw in the Mishnah, is oser v'kolshehu. The small amount of unkosher wine will Aser, the entire pit of kosher wine. So now we have a vast quantity of what we are now labeling as unkosher wine. And of course, this whole approach is not like the Ravimi approach that spoke about kama kama botel. We're not accepting that. And that's a point, by the way, that Rashi makes as well. And rather, what do we have? We have the unkosher wine falling directly into the pit of kosher wine, then the whole thing becomes forbidden. The water that falls in later will be of no consequence, won't help us at all, won't get us out of the problem. Iko demasni lo amasnisen. There's a second version, and this you can see with the markings is featured as Roman numeral number 2, a second version of the role or the positioning of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. The second version has him as a comment on the Mishnah. The first version had him as a comment on Ravin. Here, will Rav Shmuel be commenting on the Mishnah, and that's the reason that we have the bow ties with colored in tips featured here, so as to delineate the two different versions on what Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda is commenting. So the second version has him commenting on the Mishnah that said, Yayin b'yayin, Bekol Shehu. Mixture of unkosher wine with kosher wine, it becomes forbidden even if it's a minuscule amount of unkosher wine. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Omar Rav Yochanan, Loi Shanu. The teaching of it of the unkosher wine asering Bekol Shehu, Elo Shelo Nofal Sham Kiton Shelmayim. That's assuming that there is no presence of any water. Avol nofal sham kiton shemayim. If there fell into this pit as well a flask of kosher water, a flask's worth of kosher water, Royin es haheter ki'ilu eno, then in our mind's eye we can dismiss the presence of the kosher wine. So then we create a situation where we face off the unkosher wine versus the water. And as we said before, there is more water in this picture than there is unkosher wine. Vashar mayim rovin olav umevatlin oisoi. And then we can offer a lenient ruling, allowing the water to outdo, to outnumber and overrule the lesser amount of unkosher wine. If one concentrates on the wording, one will notice that this version of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan matches the case that Rovin Amar Rabbi Yochanan in the first version reported. My iko bein l'demasni lo amasnisin, bein l'demasni lo adorovin. What practical difference is there between these two versions, having Rav Shmuel as a comment on the Mishnah versus the first version having Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda as a comment on Rovin? The Gemara answers, Ma demasni lo amasnisin, the one who has Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda as a comment on the Mishnah, lo boi tchila, there has no requirement of the water falling into the pit before the yayin nesech, which would be a very great leniency. You could have a situation according to this version, which in effect is the second version, where the yayin nesech fell into the kosher wine first, then the kosher water fell in, and still we're allowing the water to outdo the unkosher wine by dismissing the kosher wine in our mind's eye. However, Uman demasni lo adarovin, one who teaches Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda on Rovin, which was the first version, bo'i tchila, there he said, and you can see that if you use the arrows to navigate, you'll notice the upper arrow is pointing to a line which says, which is the end of Rav Shmuel's comment, where he said that the leniency is allowed only if the water falls in before the unkosher wine. But if the unkosher wine falls in first, then according to that first version, we cannot allow the wine, even though water falls in later on. Itmar, yayin nesech shenofal lebor. V'nofal shom kiton shel mayim. As the Gemara continues, we continue with the similar mixtures, but some nuances, new points that will be brought out. Once again, we have unkosher wine falling into a pit of kosher wine, and ketones worth of kosher water falling in as well. Omar Chizkiah, we have here a machlokes, Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan, we've underlined their names and called them 1 and 2. On the outside margin, as we are on Amud Beis right now, you can see we have a topic heading, machlokes Chizkiah v'Rabbi Yochanan, we'll have a controversy between those two opinions, b'mikre she mayim v'yayin nesech noflu lebor shel yayin kosher. So let's see how their machlokes unfolds. Chizkiah says, Higdilo be'iser oser, Higdilo be'heter muter. Higdilo has to do with increase. So, of course, we're starting off with kosher wine. We've inserted above the top line of Gemara two cases that would conform to Higdilo be'iser. What are the two scenarios? So the first one we have that we wrote in was you start off with yayin heter, and then water falls into the yayin heter, and then finally yayin nesech falls in. The second case of higdilu be'isur is where once again you start off with kosher wine, and then yayin nesech falls in, and then mayim. In both of the cases, you're starting off with your basic kosher wine. Increase is taking place as a result of the iser falling in, increasing the quantity of kosher wine. So as far as Chizkiya is concerned, whenever you have a case of Higdilo be'Isur, where Isur falls in later, then you have a problem. Higdilo be'Heter Mutter. What's the case of Higdilo be'Heter? That's a case where you start off with Yayin Nesech, and then into that falls water, and eventually Yayin Heter. That kind of mixture is Mutter. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Afilu Higdilo be'Isur Mutter. According to Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Higdilo be'Isur, specifically though, we have to be very specific, one of the two cases, the case where you have the Yayin Nesech falling in at the end, then you have a heter. There is quite a bit of explanation that needs to be said to elucidate these opinions. If we look at Rashi at the top, Higdilo Hamayim Vayayin Beisur, Shenofal Yayinesach Besof Higdilo, where the unkosher wine fell in later, Osir, then we have a problem, according to Chizkiya, Velo Amrinon, and we do not adopt that which we saw on Amud Aleph, the idea of Royin Es HaHeter Kilu Eino, that we should dismiss in our mind's eye the presence of the kosher wine. We don't say that according to Chizkiya. Elo Yayin Nesech Mischaber Laminoi. Rather, the forbidden wine joins up with the kosher wine and creating a very large quantity of wine. The Ein Hamayim Rovin Olov, and the water will not be able to cancel the unkosher wine. The Kol Shekein Im Noflu Mayim Basof Kidamor and Leel, and all the more so will you have a problem if the water falls in at the end. In other words, where you have Yayin Heter and Yayin Nesach meeting up with each other without any water in the picture, that's a classic case of Min Beminos, without any foreign substance there whatsoever. If later on water falls in, well, the water is a minor amount, a minor quantity with regard to that which is now a quantity of forbidden, a large quantity of forbidden wine. Rashi goes on, Higdilu beheter, shenofal yayin heter basof, kvar botil yayin esech b'mayim. In that case of Higdilu beheter, what happened? We started off with yayin esech, and there fell into it a larger amount of kosher water. That kosher water was mevatel the yayin nesech. As Rashi says, that's kvar botil yayin esech b'mayim, shamayim rovu olav, the biyoso levado, the water outnumbered or overruled the unkosher wine when it was by itself. Umishibota legamri, from that point, when it's just kosher water against unkosher wine, that constitutes a total cancellation of the wine. Shuv eno choser v'neir, there's no more reawakening of the unkosher wine when the kosher wine eventually falls in. So that's the case of Higdilo beheter. Rabbi Yochanan, Rashi goes on to say, Rabbi Yochanan, Omar afilu Higdilo beisur. Even in the case of Higdilo beisur, which was a case where you started off with the kosher wine, then water fell in, and then at the end fell in the Yayin Esech, Rashi says, Hoyu umayim noflu tchila, since the water fell in before the unkosher wine, loy amrinon, we do not say motza min esmino. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar le Rabbi Yirmiya le Rabbi Zera, Leimo Chizkiya v'Rabbi Yochanan b'plukta d'Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbanan komifligi. Here is an attempt on the part of Rabbi Yirmiya to set up or parallel the machlokes Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan with a machlokes Tanoim that will appear in the upcoming source that you can see is framed off. We also have featured a diamond in the text. The explanation on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading has this as Nisyonos Lahasbir Machlokes Chizkiya v'Rabbi Yochanan, attempts to explain the machlokas between Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan. So the first attempt has us trying to simply set up Chizkiyah versus Chizkiyah, the machlokas Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan, as paralleling a machlokas Tanoim. The Gemara will reject that later on and then offer an independent explanation as to what the machlokas Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan concerns. So as we go on in the Gemara, let's see what's this first attempt. We also have a long question marking accompanying this section of Gemara. You can see a shin that's encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating that all of these lines are part of this attempt. Hence, it's an attempt. Lema is a question. Can we say that Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan parallel Rabbi Elazar and Rabbonan? Kol miflegi. Disnan, the source begins, Saor shel chulin v'shel truma. Saor is sourdough. Sourdough that causes other doughs to rise. So saor is an intense type of dough that's highly fermented. And in this case we have saor, part of some saor of chulin and some saor of truma. Truma being forbidden substance, because truma is the tithe that is given to Kohanim, and only Kohanim are allowed to eat it. So we have heter and iser, shinoflu l'toch ha'isa, and they fell into a batter of kosher dough. Lo bozeh kedei l'chameitz, v'lo bozeh kedei l'chameitz. The chulin sourdough, which is the allowed sourdough, was of insufficient quantity on its own to cause the rising, and likewise the truma, prohibited sourdough, was on its own quantity-wise incapable of causing the fermentation of the rising. But together they joined up and enabled the batter to rise, the batter of kosher dough. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Achar Acharon Ani Ba. I determine the situation by looking at that which fell in later, last. That would sound like Chizkiyah, who said Higdilo be'isur usur, namely, if the truma sourdough fell in second, so then the batter would be unfit, would be usur. Once again, that sounds like Chizkiyah that said Higdilo be'isur usur. V'chachamim omrim bein shenofal isur b'tchila ubein b'soif eino usur. Regardless of when something fell in, even if the isur fell in second, it's not necessarily prohibited. That sounds like Rabbi Yochanan. Achye bo kedei lahachmitz. According to the Chachamim, the only time a problem would arise is if there was sufficient unkosher sourdough or prohibited sourdough to on its own cause the batter to rise. The Gemara at this point rejects this attempt to parallel Chizkiyah. Or attach Chizkiyah or parallel him with Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan with the Chachamim. The Tisbara, v'homer Abaye, but Abaye commented once on this source involving the sourdough and saying that Rabbi Elazar's, we'll call Rabbi Elazar's aspect of leniency, he was more restrictive in terms of the two sources, but within Rabbi Elazar we saw the possibility of leniency, the allowed sourdough would fall in second. But Abaye says regarding Rabbi Elazar's shita, he says lo shanu, that the Rabbi Elazar's teaching that if heter fell in at the end, it would be mutter. This is qualified. It's elo shekodam v'sile keso iser, provided the owner removed the truma sourdough. Avolo kidam v'sile keso iser, if he didn't remove the truma sourdough, left it in together with the heter sourdough, with the chulin sourdough, usher, they would join up, the mutter with the usher would join up and create a prohibition. That being the case, then Chizkiyah de Omar Keman, who would Chizkiyah be paralleled with? Chizkiyah made a clear distinction between Isser falling in at the end versus Heter falling in at the end. according to Abaye's interpretation of Shitas Rabbi Elazar, that's not necessarily the case. In other words, where nothing is removed, and by the way, in Chizkiyah's case, nothing could have been removed. It was a liquid mixture. Nothing could have been extricated from there. So, according to Abaye's interpretation of Shitas Rabbi Elazar, Chizkiyah doesn't parallel anybody. Chizkiyah, who made his distinction between that which falls in at the end, according to Rabbi Elazar, that's not necessarily the way to rule. If you're not removing things, then the whole thing is usher. And according to the Chachamim, if you have a mixture of heter with iser, it's okay regardless of that which fell in second. So Chizkiyah, who does make a distinction between first and second, he doesn't seem to parallel anybody. Ela hocha b'royin komiflagi. Rather, there is a new approach to explaining Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan. As far as Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan are concerned, they may both agree with Rabbi Elazar in the case of the sourdough, or they may both agree with the Chachamim in the case of the sourdough. However, their case involves a different setup. The analysis concerning the machlokes Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan revolves around the issue of royin, how we view things in our mind's eye. L'chizkiyah les le royin. According to Chizkiyah, the idea, this is an idea that we had mentioned earlier, namely the royin es mino kamisha eno. The Gemara tells us that according to Chizkiyah, we don't say that. And Rabbi Yochanan islay. Rabbi Yochanan does accept this idea of royin es mino kemisha'eno. Therefore, as far as Chizkiyah is concerned, if you started off with kosher wine, and then water fell in, the water would be batel to the kosher wine. The water loses its significance. And then, so at that point then, we would say you basically have just kosher wine, being that the water was batel. And then if finally Yayin Nesech falls in, the whole thing is usher, because it's really wine falling into wine. You have another situation where Chizkiyah rules heter. That's a case where you started off with the Yayin Nesech, that was what he called Higdilu Beheter, where you start off with the Yayin Nesech and then water falls in. We say that the water is Botel in the Mayim. Let's correct ourselves. The Yayin Nesech is Botel in the Mayim. Once again, if Yayin Nesech, you started off with Yayin Nesech and water fell in, so the Yayin Nesech is Botel in the water, and then Yayin Kosher falls in, so kosher wine is falling into kosher water, and there's no problem. The Gemara goes on and asks a question. Of course, before we go on, let us just make a comment regarding Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan spoke about Yayin Kosher. The case that he disagreed with Chizkiyah on involved kosher wine. You started off with kosher wine, and then water fell in. And then the Yayin Nesech. It's mutter. Why is that mutter? Because he does subscribe to the Roin phenomena. Namely, we view the kosher wine as if it's not there, and then we're simply facing off the water with the Yayin Nesech, and the water will be mevatel. It outnumbers outnumbers in quantity the Yayin Nesech, and hence Rabbi Yochanan rules it's kosher. You can take advantage in understanding this sugya by the little chart or a scheme that we've included on the inside margin of the Gemara, the lower half of the page. The Gemara asks a question. Umi islei l'Rabbi Yochanan royin? Does Rabbi Yochanan hold by this concept of royin? V'haboy mine Rav Asi me Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi once asked of Rabbi Yochanan the following case. Shnei koisois, echod shel chulin ve'echod shel truma. Two cups of wine. One was chulin and one was truma. Umozgon, and water was added to them to make it drinkable. The irvon ze boze, and they got mixed up. It has to be noted that the water in the two cups was of sufficient quantity to mevatel the truma. Mahu, what do we say? In other words, in this case, you had two cups of wine, one allowed and one not allowed. And there was an addition of water, the water being a kosher, an allowed substance in this case. Do we view the kosher wine as if it's not there? Then, and at that point, we would then say there's enough water to mevatel the truma and then allow this whole mixture. That was the question posed to Rabbi Yochanan. Below Poshat Lei, and Rabbi Yochanan did not answer the question, which once again was a question that was dependent on the issue of Royin, the ability in our mind's eye to view the kosher-like substance as if it's not there. The kosher, I mean, when I say like substance, it's min b'mino, the issue of the two wines, the kosher wine as if it's not there, and then can we say that the water would mevatel the truma, the problematic wine? Well, Rabbi Yochanan did not answer the question. So how can you say a few lines up that that is the very point of difference between Chizkiyahu and Rabbi Yochanan, claiming that Rabbi Yochanan does subscribe to this process of viewing in your mind's eye something as not being there? The Gemara answers, "May Karol Lo Pashalei." That's true. Initially, Rabbi Yochanan did not have clarity on this topic. He did not have a conclusion on this. He didn't have a particular conclusion on this. However, Lubasov, Poshat Lei, as far as the order of events in the Gemara is concerned, even though the story of Rav Asi's question to Rabbi Yochanan is printed the second, that actually historically was earlier. That was before the conclusion reached involving the analysis of the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiyah. Itmar Nami, Omar Rabbi Ami, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the Amri law, another version is Omar Rav Asi, as opposed to Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Shnei Koisois, Echot Shel Chulin Vechot Shel Truma, you have two cups of wine, one of Chulin and one of Truma, Umozgon, and they were diluted with water, the Irvon Zebozan, and then the two cups of diluted wine got mixed up with each other. Royin es haheter ki'ilu eino. We can view in our mind's eye the kosher wine as if it's not there. The hashar mayim rovin olav umevatlin oso. And the rest of the substances there, you have water and truma wine. Well, you have enough water there to outweigh the truma wine and thereby cancel it. Ze haklal min b'mino b'mashu shelo b'mino b'no sein tam. This expression of ze haklal we've dashed underline. We'll also have an arrow in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. We'll come back to this later. The Mishnah mentioned a rule that if you have like substances, one prohibited and one allowed, mixing up with each other, then we don't view issues of quantities play no role. Namely, even a mashu, a minuscule amount of unkosher substance, renders the mixture forbidden. If they're unlike substances, then only if the unkosher substance, its taste is perceived, then you would have a problem. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. We have a triangle featured here. And under our topic heading, the Nosei Mivneh structural note, we comment on the outside margin. We see a triangle. Machlokes Amoraim. We have a Amoraic controversy. Mosai Amrinon Shebitol Iser B'Tarovas Tolui B'Nosein Tam. When is it that we say that the voiding of the prohibited substance in a mixture is dependent on its perceived taste. We also have a double underline that will be used in the Gemara. These are Shnei Deos Ma Bo Mishnosenu L'Rabbis B'Zeh Klal. We'll see two opinions as to what the Mishnah is trying to include by the expression Zeh HaKlal. Zeh HaKlal is after the Mishnah stated in detail form its rules, it then made a principle out of it. So what is included in this principle? Turning now to the Gemara. Rav Ushmuel, the Amri Chavayu, Kol Isurin Shebetoro, B'minon B'mashehu, Shelo B'minon B'nosein Tam. Rav and Shmuel teach that all Isurim of the Torah, if it's like substances, then the quantities play no role, and the unkosher substance will aser even b'mashu. If it's unlike substances, then only if the taste is perceived. Zeh haklal, the expression of zeh haklal of the Mishnah, la'suyei mai, what is it coming to include? Lasuye kol isurin shebetorah is coming to include all issues of mixtures involving Torah prohibitions, all different kinds of things, not just wine, but all other food substances where there is a mixture involved. So the expression zeh haklal expands this beyond the examples cited in the Mishnah. Beyond the specific examples that the Mishnah cited, the Mishnah intended by using the expression Zeh HaKlal to include all Isurim Shebetorah, like Rav Ushmuel expressed. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Reish Lokish Dam Reish Ravayu Kol Isurim Shebetorah Bein B'minon Bein Shelo B'minon B'no Sein Tam Chutz Mitevel V'yayin Nesech B'minon b'mashu v'shalo b'minon b'no seitam. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are much more lenient in their approach, and they're saying that not only in min b'she'eno mino is the taste a factor, but even in min b'mino mixtures, we do not say that it becomes forbidden with a mashu. According to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, even in a min b'mino situation, if you have 60 times the amount of heter over the amount of iser, it's okay, even though it's min b'mino, even though they're like substances. This is the first time in the course of these sugyas that we're seeing such an opinion, namely min b'mino not becoming prohibited through a mashehu. There is an exception, and that's a mixture of involving tevel and yayin nesech. Tevel is a reference to untithed produce from a Jewish farm in Eretz Israel. One's expected to remove different tithes. If the tithes were not removed, that's called tevel. So tevel and a case of yayin nesef, which is a familiar topic to us, those can aser b'mashu if it's a case of min b'mino. If it's min b'she'eno mino, then even those will present a problem only if their taste is perceived. V'zeh haklal of the Mishnah la'asuye tevel, the general expression of the Mishnah, the a stating of a rule, according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, comes to include that which is not stated in the examples of the Mishnah, and that hence is referring to the case of Tevel. Tanya Kavosei de Rav Ushmuel, Tanya Kavosei de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We have brises that support both sides, both opinions. Tanya Kavosei de Rav Ushmuel. Kol Isurin Shebetorah B'minon B'mashehu V'shelo B'minon B'no Sein Tam Tanya Kavosei de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Kol Isurin Shebetorah Bein B'minon Bein Shelo B'minon B'no Sein Tam Chutz Mitevel V'yayin Nesech where we say b'minon b'mashu v'shelo b'minon b'no sein tam. As you can see, these two framed sources state exactly that which Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said. Bishlamo yayin nesech, I understand that it asers b'mashu mishum chumo davidus kechavim, because of the stringency of Avodah Zarah. Therefore, I can understand an opinion that would say that in general, min b'mino is b'no sein tam, which is a lenient ruling, with the exception of Yayin Nesech, that when you have Yayin Nesech mixing with kosher wine, the Yayin Nesech will forbid it b'mashu. That's because you're dealing with a very stringent realm, namely idolatry. Elo tevel my timo. What's the logic that says that a tevel mixture, namely where untithed produce mixes up with tithed produce, that the entire mixture is forbidden, even if there is a vast amount greater of allowed of kosher of tithed produce? The answer is kehetero kach isuro. Just like Tevel becomes mutter, so to Tevel itself can forbid. What do we mean by that? This will be explained shortly. The Omar Shmuel, Chito Achas Poteres Esakri. If you have an entire pile of untithed produce, let's say you have a pile of untithed wheat, if you take a singular wheat grain and declare it to be your Truma tithe, that is said to be a tikkun of the entire kri. That fixes the entire kri. So just like we see that the shame tevel with regard to truma can be removed, can be eliminated, the shame tevel, the categorizing it as tevel, as that which is forbidden, you know, that category can be changed, can be removed, it can be fixed through the removal of a mashu, of a singular grain, so too, when tevel itself gets mixed up with chulin, it creates iser the same way. In other words, we can say a tit for a tat, or midah keneged midah. Utna nami, hachi. Bame omru, tevel oser bekolshu. We have a Tanaic source explaining that which we just said. When is it that Tevel prohibits Bekoshehu? That's Bemino. Bekoshehu means a minuscular amount. That's when the Tevel gets mixed up with like substance. That's Chulin. However, Shelo Bemino, Beno Saint Tam. It might be added, and that's the main point of this last little piece of Gemara, is that why in the case of Mino does it aser b'kolshu? Because in the case of Mino, we say you could have tithed it. In other words, one tithes wheat by removing wheat. Wheat is removed from wheat. It's the tithe and the original substance are the same. However, you don't tithe wheat from a pile of barley. You don't take a piece of wheat and declare it to be the truma over barley. They're unlike substances. Rashi points this out at the very bottom. Bame omru tevel isuro b'mashuhu b'mino omru. If it's tevel asers, if you have tevel wheat that gets mixed up with chulin wheat, then even though there's a vast amount more of chulin wheat, the entire mixture is prohibited. Avol shelo b'mino b'no sein tam. And why is that? Mishum de bemino ikol lemeimar, when it's a like substance mixture, you then could have you could apply the rule of ketero kachisuro. Avol b'shelo bemino leko lemeimar hochi. But if it's unlike substances, you don't say ketero kachisuro because you don't have a heter of removing wheat to fix up the barley. Almo taimo mishum hochiu. Therefore, the reason for the iser is based on the fact that you could have achieved heter that way. With this, we conclude our shiur for today.